Have you heard of NAD+? If not, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD+ is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. As we age, NAD+ levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD+ therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improve focus, and enhance recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free. And the best part? It's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. You know, it's all about the wellness and longevity, people. You can start your journey, too, along with Tab and me from the comfort of your own home with Effecty. I really appreciate how user-friendly and informative and transparent the Effecty site is. You know upfront exactly what you are paying for, and everything they offer is backed by rigorous research and testing, ensuring safety and efficiency. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD Plus Longevity Treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Listeners, if I could go back and tell my 20-year-old self something, I would tell myself probably to rethink white eyeshadow and over-tweezing my eyebrows, because it doesn't age well. But you know what does? Investing. I wish I would have started then, but it's never too late. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what else is great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostics comes in with their True Age test. You can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age test, and I'm super excited to see what it reveals about my health. For me, it's all about what we can do to start reverse aging, for my health, for my well-being, and this is my starting point. The test is like a health roadmap that shows exactly where your body stands and what you can do to improve. That's what this test gives you. And one of the other cool things is True Diagnostic is part of the Rejuvenation Olympics, where people compete to lower their biological age. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using code CLINK at checkout. That's True Diagnostic. TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com at checkout. Just use the code CLINK and save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 20% discount. Discover your true age today.
This time of year, every cat is an indoor cat. I mean, when it's freezing outside, I'm an indoor human, and there is one thing that can stink up being inside, and that is a litter box. So listen, don't let a stinky litter box ruin your winter wonderland. Switch to Pretty Litter like I did many years ago. It's amazing. Comes right to your door every single month. You do not run out of litter. You do not need to be going to the store at midnight like I have done before. Not anymore. Not with Pretty Litter. It's super lightweight. It also changes colors if your cat has some sort of illness, like a urinary tract infection or kidney issue. It kind of gives you a little indicator so you know when to take your kitty to the vet. Pretty Litter ships free right to your door, ships right to my door. You don't have to lug, you know, heavy cartons from the grocery store. It's right there at your door. It's so great. I switched many, many years ago for my cats, and I mean, this is the best litter, hands down. Hands down. Go to prettylitter.com/clink, save 20% off your first order, and get a free cat toy. Ah! prettylitter.com/clink and save 24% off your first order and get your little kitty a toy. Again, prettylitter.com/clink. Terms and conditions apply. See the site for details.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Howdy doody.
Oh, well, it's been a long time since I've seen you in the flesh and blood.
Like yesterday. Yesterday. I left Texas. I still got the howdy, apparently.
What do you mean?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say howdy in Texas, but you see it on
everywhere.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's written on everything. I did a little shopping after I left you.
You did. What did you get?
Yeah, I had a little time to kill before I hit the airport. I got some taffy that says extremely hot taffy, and I thought it would be fun to prank someone with, but I ate one and it was delicious. It's like a hot tamale on fire.
That's what I was thinking.
Not mad at it at all. Yeah, just little stuff. Just did the stockyards. We came upon some place where they, they are fans of the taxidermy in Texas.
Oh, did you go down that little railroad place where we change
you? Uh-huh.
Yeah. My husband likes the squirrels that are playing poker.
Yeah, those were probably my kids' favorite. Although my son said he wouldn't mind there's kind of a tiger lounging on a couch. He wouldn't mind that for his room.
Oh, gosh.
Which
no.
That kind of scares me
cringe.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Cringe. Totally.
I asked them when I went there once if it was real.
Well, yeah, it is.
I know. They said it was. I thought for sure, no, it wasn't.
You guys, because seriously, there's like an elephant in there.
I know, you guys. That's kind of a con for Texas.
Kind of a con. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You do get y'all a lot in Texas, but not the howdy.
No howdy. Well, let me tell you what else I got in Texas, people, because I crossed some suggestions off my list. Tabitha took me to Buc-ee's. Mm-hmm. She told me, I want to take you to Buc-ee's for lunch. And I was like, isn't that a gas station?
Yeah,
that's what I was under the impression.
Basically...
I thought it was like the Flyin' J, which if you are familiar with the Flyin' J, is like a gas station, but with a lot of extra souvenirs. I enjoy it, but I don't want to eat lunch there.
Okay.
Anyways. Opened my eyes. I got my first Buc-ee's experience, and I got my kolache.
Yes, she did get a kolache also.
I got two kinds, people.
Were they so good?
Yeah, they were good.
I know.
Yeah.
She also got to experience Buc-ee's on a weekday because we went on a Monday, and there was minimal people because I told her on the weekends it is jam-packed. I mean, it's nuts.
It made for a lovely plane ride home. We had lots of great plane snacks. We got the fresh jerky, the hot nuts. Delicious.
Yeah, I know. So if you haven't been, that is definitely something to do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You can even get yourself a Buc-ee's bathing suit if you need.
I don't know that anybody needs to see me in a bathing suit, especially after I just spent, I was there for the Super Bowl. I also enjoyed a lot of Super Bowl
foodness.
Yeah. I had my first Texas Twinkie, they call them.
That was my first Texas Twinkie, too.
If you're not familiar, it's a jalapeno stuffed cream cheese wrapped in brisket, wrapped in bacon. It's a situation.
So good.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous, you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why I've lived here for 4 years and have not
Me
had
neither.
A Texas Twinkie yet.
Mm-mm.
So, no, everybody's going to want to come to Texas. We should do a meetup soon. Something like that. Mm-hmm. We will.
We should.
We will. All right. So also, we're still in February. So if you haven't joined Patreon, now is the time. I am sending out the emails actually tomorrow on my plane flight to give everybody that has joined in the last couple weeks 5 crimes. So if you want $50 in 5 crimes, sign up for Patreon. Our year subscription is $51 and you get $50 of five crimes, you guys. So that's a double whammy of goodness. You get all of our skincare, make your hair grow, you know, make your face glow, all of that at five crimes just for joining our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/housewives of true crime. Also, don't forget, we're going to be at CrimeCon. Please use the code housewives for that.
And please.
Yes, please. Please do. So they know that you're coming to see us because, you know, we want to make sure that we're invited back. And then we're also going on a crime cruise. You probably heard of it, but if you haven't, it's in November and we'd love to see you there. That is crimewaveatsea.com/housewives. I think that's all for today of the Get Up and Move task force. And now let's get to crimes. Yes.
Okay.
All right, Gretchy, this case comes from a listener that wrote in on our Instagram. So if you have not followed us, that's another thing to do. Sorry, putting one more thing on there, but that's Housewives of True Crime. And we also have a Facebook group that's private, so you can chime in. No one can see that you're doing it, you know, which I love. That's Housewives of True Crime group. Go there. All right. So I'm going to give you, okay. So that's what I was going to say. I can't really figure out her name. Because she has one of those maybe it's a name. I don't know. But it's all together. So
okay.
I'm just going to do the like shortened version, which she has on top. It's NMD. Okay.
Okay. This is the listener who did it.
The listener that suggested this case.
Thank you, NMD.
And I
et cetera.
She's out of the UK, which is fun, right?
It is.
Ah, I know. Okay. So I'm going to give you a little lesson. You are familiar with the royals. So let me just, I kind of find it fascinating, you know?
Yeah.
But this case comes out of Royden, Essex, which is in the United Kingdom, and it's located 30 miles north of London, and it dates back to medieval times.
Okay.
A house cost about £24,000, which is about, I don't know, $278,000 here. Which seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
There is a church there that was built in 1225. I mean, that's what I love. We're going to have so much fun at CrimeCon UK. By the way, we are going to that too, you guys. And if that is also Housewives. So if you are listening from the UK, please go find us at CrimeCon. Also, you know, I was going to say that this case, there are very little about this case in the United States. I only found two podcasts that comes out of the UK, and there's no offense because I love the UK accent, but it's a little bit hard to understand some of the words.
Oh, no one's offended. It is because you and I both have this issue that it's definitely our personal problem that sometimes our brains aren't quick enough to decipher.
You know, most podcasts...
The accentness.
So sometimes... Most of the time in the United States, where the podcasts are coming out of the United States, I put them at 1.5 speed so I can listen to them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I have to go to like 0.75 on the ones that are coming out of the UK. So I'm like, okay, what was that word again? Okay. So I was going to tell you about Henry VIII, I am, because he had some things to do in Essex, but I think I'll just leave that out.
Everybody knows about Henry VIII, chopped off the heads.
Yeah,
got married a bunch of times. You know, it's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing.
Started the Episcopalian Church, and here we are.
Maybe you could do a bonus crime on that one.
Oh.
But we're not here to talk about Henry. We are here to talk about another case. And before I begin, this case has not been solved. So if you despise cases that are still open, then this is not the case for you. But if you would like to have your own opinion, which a lot of people do, then this is the one for you. So on March 31st, 2001, before 6 o'clock a.m., an all-nighter party was still going on at British TV host Michael Barrymore's Royden Estate. Partygoers asked Michael if they could get into the jacuzzi. So he was like, yeah, here's some, you know, swim trunks. Let's go. After they were done, Michael went inside to smoke a joint. And when he went back outside, he walked past the pool and noticed something in the deep end. It was the body of a man who was dressed only in boxer shorts. Michael ran back inside to find help. Two men ran outside, jumped in the pool, pulling the man's body out. Michael then called 999, which is 911 in the US. And I am going to play this clip for you now of the 911 call.
Okay.
Number 4, 5 months, 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 someone's just gone out and banging. I'll tell you what, mate.
Okay, so if you're like me and you have a hard time understanding accents, then I'm going to just tell you a little bit of what he said, because I had a hard, 911 calls are hard in general, right, to understand, but then you could put the accent on top. So he says, a geezer's drowned in the pool. The operator says, right, I'm sorry. He says, a fella's drowned in the pool. And he says, are they still in the water? The caller says, no, we've got them out. And he says, you've got them out? And the caller says, yes, there's a party going on and someone just gone out and found him. I'll tell you what, mate, this is the first time ever I've been out in 4 fucking years. I have me kids every weekend and fucking hell, you don't expect it, do you? So there are mixed reports if this is Michael calling or another party goer at the party, okay?
Yeah.
Just so you know. So the unconscious man was 31-year-old Stuart Lubbock. He was taken by ambulance to the Princess Alexandra Hospital in the nearby city of Harlow, where he was pronounced dead at 8:23 a.m. Police went to his parents' home and gave them the tragic news that their son had died as a result of an accidental drowning. As the press caught wind that the man had died at Michael Barrymore's home, which, by the way, this guy was like, when I say TV personality, he was like pretty big in the British television, like game show kind of guy. He was like the Simon Cowell.
Okay, that's huge. Yes, I know I was not familiar with him, but can we just backtrack for 1 second about that night? Shame on you, sir, whether it's him or not. I mean, you could at least be compassionate through them getting the body of someone out of your house. And then when you're decompressing with your mates at the pub, then I think that's when you go, you know, fucking hell, I have my kids every weekend, blah, 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 blah.
I know, he's mad that this happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's all.
Yes, right? And then he calls him a geezer. I mean, is that a bad, that's a bad word. I'm not a bad word over here, but it's like means like an old.
Maybe they mean it differently. You know, they use the word that we would never use that rhymes with hag, that starts with an F for cigarettes over there. And that one always throws me for a loop.
Okay, true. So maybe geezer is something else. And I mean, 31 years old, I would not be calling him a geezer.
Oh, Jesus. Otherwise offensive as well.
I know. Okay. So anyhow, press got, you know, hold of this Michael Barrymore situation and that this guy died at his house. And the assumption was that Stuart was gay. The reason was because 6 years prior in 1995, Michael had famously thrown his wedding ring down on stage while attending a drag show and declared, I think I'm gay today. And also because Michael threw sex parties and he was gay.
Oh, okay.
He was married prior and turned gay.
I hope that wasn't the first his wife. I mean, more power to you, Michael, but I hope that wasn't how his wife found out.
I have no idea, but that would be real interesting way to find out. I
don't know. Watching it on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So an autopsy and a post-mortem, as they call it in the UK, was performed on Stuart Lubbock by Dr. Michael Heath that afternoon on March 31st. Based on water found in Stuart's lungs and in his air passageways, they did conclude that Stuart had accidentally drowned. He noted that Stuart's body had gone through some injuries that would be consistent with that being pulled out of the pool, but none that determined to be intentionally inflicted. Dr. Heath documented in his notes that Stuart had drowned and there was no third party involvement in his death, essentially ruling it an accidental drowning. Because Dr. Heath's conclusion that he drowned, the police investigation just didn't start. The scene was not secured. There was no evidence collected. However, photographs were taken around the estate, which, mind you, I kind of don't like. I think if somebody dies at somebody's house and they don't know yet, I think it should be roped off until you have some serious conclusions on that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Agree.
Within a few hours, several British tabloids had positioned themselves outside of Stuart's parents' house waiting for a chance to pounce on them for a statement. One of the tabloids, News of the World, sent a reporter named Paul McMullen to the story. He put on the dark suit and walked up to Stuart's mom's door. Intent was to trick her into thinking he was a plain-clothed police officer. What a dick. Mm-hmm. When she answered the door, he introduced himself and simply said he was investigating the death of her son and then asked her if Stuart was gay. Which she answered, he was absolutely not. British tabloids have long been known for their gossipy coverage of celebrities, royals, you know how that...
They're savage,
they're
yeah.
They're savage out there, yeah. It's you think it's bad here, it's real bad there. As Paul stood in the doorway talking to Paul's mother, she asked what police station he was from, and when he told her that he was a reporter from the News of the World, she slammed the door in his face, thankfully. It was enough for him to get a story, despite Stuart's mom denying that he was gay. In the headlines, it read... Michael weeps as gay pal dies face down in his pants. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's weird. He was in the pool.
Yes. The News of the World started contacting other people who had attended Michael's late night rager and paid them thousands of dollars. By the way, thousands for their statements. £30,000.
Wow.
The list included Michael's then boyfriend, Jonathan Kenny, who was one of the partygoers who got Stuart out of the pool and gave him CPR. The remaining people were Kelly Campbell, Claire Jones, Simon Shaw, James Feuders, Kylie Merritt, and Justin Merritt. Kylie and Justin were siblings. And the girls, a couple of the girls were underage, they were 17. According to Paul, the truth didn't matter. He knew that these people were receiving large payments for their stories, just so they could boost sales. That was the most important thing for that sleazy paper. Michael Barrymore was not hosting any television shows at the time of Stuart's drowning, but was hugely famous, like I told you, for in the UK, he was known as Mr. Saturday Night. And he had this catchphrase that was like, all white. Okay.
Okay.
You know who also has a catchphrase like that?
Simon Cowell?
No, your guy.
All right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Mr. McConaughey. Talk about making appearances at the Super Bowl too.
I know.
He can't quit.
I know.
One side note, this thing about the British tabloids, can we just say, it just is always so shocking to me because I always think of the Brits as being so much more mature.
I know. No, but they also, you know.
Than right? us?
Yes, it's true.
And yet it's like, and I feel they're so above it all, but yet somebody's got to be keeping these tabloids in business.
It's because they keep it on the DL. You know, they probably go to the airport.
Is it a front? Is that what those ladies are talking about during tea?
I'm sure it is.
Come on.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And their accents just make them sound so much more civilized.
Totally.
And the howdy.
Yeah.
And the y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael was, like I said, he was on game shows through the 80s and 90s. And some of the more recognizable titles for our UK listeners was the Michael Barrymore Show, Strike It Lucky, My Kind of People, My Kind of Music, and Kids Say the Funniest Things. Michael was born Michael Parker in 1952. He was the youngest of three siblings who were raised by their mother, Margaret, after their father left the family. Michael never saw his dad after they split. As an adult, Michael met a dancer named Cheryl Coughlin in 1974 while working in London's West End Theater. They married in 1976, and they were a picture of love for 20 years, Gretchy.
Kudos.
Cheryl became his manager and was the driving force behind Michael's success before he publicly came out and threw his ring away. After the divorce, Cheryl released a book that talked about the end of their marriage. It is in it, she disclosed that Michael subjected her to physical abuse and she had to be placed under police protection after he had harmed her.
Oh, don't like that at all.
No. Michael admittedly denied Michael adamantly denied this abuse, but with what happened to Stuart and now the accusation of domestic violence, his reputation across the UK was pretty tarnished.
Yeah.
In October of 2001, Michael broke his silence in an interview on Tonight with Trevor McDonald, a news program now simply called Tonight. He gave his account of the events earlier that year from the night of March 30th into the early mornings of March 31st. According to Michael, partygoers asked him if they could get in the jacuzzi, which was located next to the pool. He lent them some shorts, like I told you, After everyone gone back in the house, Michael went outside, saw this guy passed out in the deep end of the pool. He said Stuart was face down in the water. Michael said he freaked out, ran back inside to get Jonathan, his boyfriend at the time, and Simon Shaw, another, you know, partygoer. They pulled him out, tried to revive him. In an interview, Michael said that it was like watching a really bad film with a real unhappy ending. Michael also admitted that he panicked and then ran from the house before the first responders arrived, which, by the way, he wasn't the only one that ran from the house before the first responders arrived. And it's his damn house.
That's weird.
That's weird. He further claimed that he didn't know Stuart personally, but he was at his house, his pool, and Michael said that he felt responsible for what had happened. Michael also addressed the tabloid headlines that reported that he had this wild gay orgy that night. He adamantly denied that. He said it was not a sex party and there was no orgy that he was aware of. Meanwhile, since this was such a high profile case involving a celebrity, the coroner ordered a second, then third autopsy to be conducted on Stuart's remains. Dr. Heath, the first guy, had determined that there was no injury, just like the scuffs from being pulled out of the pool.
Okay.
The second autopsy that was completed by forensic pathologist Professor Chris Milroy, Dr. Milroy was not convinced that Stuart drowned or that he even died in the water. Water is a great way to get rid of trace evidence. And he indicated that Stuart could have been placed in the water after he had been killed.
Listeners, are you like me and love crossing everything off your list of to-dos, but making a will is one of those tasks that's still uncrossed because it's so dang overwhelming? Well, it doesn't have to be. Take this task off your already busy hands with Trust and Will. Each will or trust is estate-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind of knowing that my family is protected. And FYI, it's affordable and it really is easier than you think. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actual live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot and has been used by hundreds of thousands of families and counting. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. You know what the thing about having kids is? They always need new stuff, like shoes. Oh my gosh, we go through so many shoes. And with my busy schedule, I am all about the online shopping. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because you earn cash back at over 3,500 stores. We're talking fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, concert tickets, and more. Your favorite stores like Adidas, Hello, Shoes, Sephora, and Walmart pay Rakuten to send them shoppers, and Rakuten then passes on part of that payment to its members as cash back. Cash back is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or Rakuten can send you a check. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cash back on top of other deals like store sales and coupons. You're already shopping at your favorite stores. Why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer. Plus, membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Go to the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up. Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class, and when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
He noted that there were, what do you call that when you get little red dots from being suffocated? It's like called like...
I don't know. It's like the only thing I know about the, not the strangulation, is that that they bone, usually see that hyoid bone.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you drown, they see water in your lungs, that they, that's how they determine. But maybe you're going to get there.
No, in the first autopsy, it did say that. It's called petechia. You know, okay. It's like these little teeny tiny red dots that come when something's being compressed or manual strangulation. And that's what this pathologist said. The pathologist also conducted a third autopsy was Dr. Calder, who was a renowned expert in drownings. He concluded that Stewart's lungs actually did not show the classic signs of drowning, such as froth or stomach contents presented. The sheet that Stewart had been wrapped in was also examined by Dr. Calder, who noted that there was extensive amount of hemorrhaging that had occurred from Stewart's anus. He noted bruises and abrasions around the anus and dilation and widening of the anus along with tearing inside the walls of his rectum. Dr. Calder described the injuries to this part of Stewart's body as horrific. Due to the outcomes of the second and third autopsies, police ordered an inquiry into the circumstances of Stewart Lubeck's death, which is a process to seek information and facts about the situation. So it seems as though Stewart was actually probably raped and then...
Yeah, it sounds like he was assaulted.
Yeah.
It's reminding me of that Robert Wolnklake case. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah.
But I should remember.
It was, it's okay.
After the hundreds of cases.
Maybe not a lot. It was a case we did on Patreon or whatever, but it was like, and I don't remember all the specifics exactly, but I know that there was like multiple sperms found in him, and mysterious circumstances surrounded his death.
Mm-hmm. I remember
that. They can't make amends. Yeah.
So no criminal charges were filed after the police investigation concluded, but in September 2002, an inquiry began. Michael hired an attorney known as a barrister in the UK named Michael Mansfield. The Lubeck family was represented by attorney Matthew Gowen, who provided his legal services pro bono since the Lubecks did not have the financial means to pay for a high-powered attorney. The people who had attended the party were also called to testify. Witnesses stated that they saw Michael Barrymore rub cocaine onto Stewart's gums earlier in the night. However, partygoer Kylie Mattis told the court that Stewart was not a willing participant in taking cocaine. I think others at the party did participate in this kind of drug use. She said that Stewart tried to pull his head away when Michael, you know, went in to rub his gums with cocaine. Of course, the star witness was Michael himself, who denied any knowledge of any drug use being used at the party. And he denied rubbing any kind of cocaine on Stewart's gums. Michael also said he did not know how to swim. That's why he didn't jump in and get the guy in his pool, you know. But that has also been disputed by his ex-wife and a friend. They're like, no, he knows how to swim.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think you have any business owning a damn pool if you don't know how to swim.
Right. I would have to agree. Other than one or two questions, Michael refused to answer any questions on the stand. Like, any.
Okay.
Despite all these witnesses, there was just not enough information on who would have done this, right? Because no one was really talking.
Yeah.
It was just a mystery. Jumping on Michael's silence, the tabloids blasted headlines pointing the fingers at this being a sign of guilt. There was also a lot written after Michael testified of his inability to swim and like I told you, his ex-wife was no. Also, a dozen other names came out and they were like, no, we've seen him swim. Police ordered a fourth autopsy on this poor man's body, and forensic pathologist Professor Dr. Jack Crane would be the one to perform this one. He felt that the original determination of drowning was based on flimsy evidence. His examination determined that the injuries to Stewart's anus were caused by forcible penetration, and in some pictures taken at the scene, the pool thermometer was seen lying next to the pool. That part of the thermometer that, like, hangs below the, you know, those pool thermometers that kind of,
yes,
like, float.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also had four fins. This one was a little bit different. Ours kind of floats, but this one had four fins on the bottom of it that protruded out of it.
Ouch. If you're going where I think you're going.
Well, I am going there because that also was taken from the scene at some point.
Okay.
But the scene was not a crime scene. So, I mean, a lot was taken and a lot was cleaned up and a lot was done before anybody had any access to actually figure out what the hell went on at that house that night.
Right.
There was only 9 people there. So somebody knows something. And why is this guy in his boxer shorts also?
Yeah, that is kind of, honestly, that kind of struck me when you first said that, because I would just assume you're up, you're partying, you get in the pool, you do it naked.
Of course you would.
Well, why would you get in your boxer shorts and then they're all wet when you get out of the pool? I mean, I don't know. Well,
Michael said he loaned people shorts, so I don't know.
So he ran out? I don't know. It just, I'm not with it.
I don't know. Okay, so when information of this fourth autopsy came out, Michael Barrymore denied involvement again and stated that Stewart's injuries could not have occurred at his own home. One problem was that Michael's version of the events is the surveillance footage showing Stewart leaving the Millennium Club. That is where Michael met him that night.
Okay.
Okay. He kind of just made friends with him at the club and was like, hey, we're having an after party. And Stewart was kind of smitten with the celebrityism of Michael and was, yeah, sure, I'll go back to hang out at your house. But he was fine, upright, walking. The injuries did not happen before he went to Michael's house, but Michael, you know. Although they conducted now 4 autopsies, they still didn't have, I mean, they kind of know what happened to him. Basically, they're thinking, like I said, he was sexually assaulted and then killed. But there still is no one that's coming forward to give any answers on who might have done it. In December 2003, the police had an inquiry into the allegations about Stewart's injuries being inflicted in the hospital. Somebody had claimed that they had taken Stewart's body temperature with thermometer at the hospital.
Up his butt after he's dead?
So they did use a thermometer in the anus after he was admitted, except for, you know, those things are like, I mean, they're like baby thermometer. Like, you know, nothing. They're like nothing. Teeny tiny.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the years, so basically the case went cold. So over the years, Stewart's father, Terry, headed a one-man campaign to find out the truth, what happened to his son. Terry is a man that literally spent his entire life trying to find justice for his son, which pains my heart because I think I would be exactly the same way, but I also think it ruined his life.
Yeah.
Local news was covering this story, but then Terry started appearing on, he was like gung-ho. He's like, let's go. I need the public's help. He started appearing on dozens of interviews pleading to see if anybody would come out and just say something, because one of those 8 people that were still alive knew something. But the years had ticked by and nothing was really heard from. Nothing was heard from Michael.
Yeah, because he's a damn celebrity and people are, you know, feel some kind of way about that. And this person who comes forward, they probably think this savage British press is going to come after them and totally never let them go.
I know.
You're going to be like the next Octomom or something here where you can't step out of the shadow of totally being part of a
scandal. Yeah, you're probably right.
Scandal.
Yeah, you're probably right. So Michael was, you know, he kind of took a hiatus. And then in 2006, he was suddenly back. And guess what show he was back on?
You Are the Weakest Link. No, that no was somebody else. What was it?
Celebrity Big Brother.
Okay. Sounds about right.
It does sound about right. Terry's PR team was like, we are not having this. They marched straight up to the front door of Big Brother's house and tried to get in.
Oh, really?
They were like, let's go. What's up, Michael? What happened to my son? During his time on Big Brother, Michael gained back some of his fans, and he even came into the second season. And actually, dude, he freaking almost won Celebrity Big Brother. When he finally finished Celebrity Big Brother, he actually decided that he would meet Terry Stewart's dad in person, because that's all, you know, he just was like, let me talk to him. So they met at a hotel, and basically he wouldn't answer any questions. He just said, I don't know what happened. He didn't provide him with any answers, and Terry left just as mad as he came in. Michael went on a PR campaign, spending as much time on talk shows as he could, trying to get relevant again. However, the Essex police had other plans for him, because they decided to open another investigation into Stewart's death and to see if Michael actually had any involvement. In June of 2007, Terry was informed that the Essex police had made 3 arrests under the suspicion of sexual assault, rape, and murder of his son. Michael Barrymore, Don Carey, and Justin Merritt were the 3 subjects that were arrested. But after 12 hours of questioning, they were then released due to lack of evidence. Terry was reeling because he thinks that the Essex police dropped the ball on the investigation, and they did.
Yeah.
Detective Chief Inspector, or DCI as they call it, Stephen Jennings, admitted in an interview that mistakes were made. He stated that the initial responding officers were told by witnesses at the scene that Stewart had accidentally drowned, and they just believed him, them.
Mm-hmm. Because celebrity.
I know.
They just...
Wouldn't you be like, oh, that's so weird. The owner of the house is not here. Where'd he go?
Yeah. And I would also think they would ask him to take, if there was questionable things, especially it's like, listen, buddy, you might have been high. I don't know. You didn't have a reasonable reaction since you fled. Maybe you ought to take a polygraph to clear these things up so that you can go on with the rest of your life without this cloud hanging over your head.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like that happened.
It doesn't sound like that happened. Michael Barrymore actually sued the Essex police in 2017 for more than £2 million for damages and lost wages stemming from his 2007 arrest. And he did get a nominal compensation, by the way, dropped the suit in 2019. Terry Lebeck told the BBC, that's brilliant news. I'm raising my arms. I'm still determined to get justice for Stewart. He was only 31 years old when he died, and I am determined to hang on to the end for him. At this point, Terry's health was really declining. He had cancer. In 2019, Michael was booked on British show Dancing on Ice, but had to drop out shortly after breaking his wrist, so he didn't get on that one. In 2020, a documentary came out called Barrymore, The Body in the Pool. It did feature Stewart's dad, Terry, and his brother, Kevin, and his ex-wife. And it's a documentary on trying to get answers. The documentary points the finger directly at Michael Barrymore. It further points fingers at the other 8 partygoers, Kelly Campbell, Claire Jones, Simon Shaw, James Feuders, Kylie, and Justin Merritt, and Michael's then boyfriend, Jonathan, as being co-conspirators in covering up a murder. Stewart's ex-wife, brother, and dad all stated in the Body of Water documentary that Stewart was absolutely not gay. He actually had a reputation of being a bit of a womanizer. 6 months prior to his death, Stewart had split from the woman he had been in a domestic partnership for years, who he had 2 daughters with, who were 1 and 4 when they split up. He had moved in with his dad and Kevin after this breakup, and he and Kevin started hitting the clubs every weekend, where Stewart would kind of like have another, you know, he was a womanizer a little bit. Okay. So he had another woman every weekend. So they said.
Okay.
There is some, like, there are people that have said that Michael was hitting on all the guys at the party, because by the way, Jonathan, his boyfriend, didn't come to the party until a little bit later. And so a couple of the guys said that Michael tried to kiss them or pull them into the room. And even the taxi cab driver, or his driver that was driving him that night, said that Michael was a little bit aggressive on he needed to have sex that night. These are all just kind of hearsay accusations. Yeah. So, but they are in court documents.
Yeah. I mean, I think with some of that stuff, you take it with a grain of salt. But if there's multiple, it gives it a little more you know, credence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, the taxi driver, that guy, he said that Michael was plastered that night. Oh, these are the exact words he said in the documentary. He said, "I could use a good fuck."
Okay.
The documentary interviewed all of the pathologists to talk about their findings. They also stated that Michael left the scene to avoid police and avoid media. I can see that a little bit, but not really. It's 6 in the morning or 5:30, 5:23, something like that. Like, are you really that worried about media at that point?
I think that shows a real character flaw.
Yeah.
And just if that's the same person that was on the 911 call, I mean, your first thought should
I think it was be, his friend.
Maybe it was his friend. But yeah, your first thought should be the emergency at hand and all of that comes secondary. But let's say you did panic and run away. That is also something you could clear up, but you can't clear it up by not talking.
Right.
That looks like you're just hiding something, that there is nothing to clear up, that you ran because you were afraid of what was going to be found out.
Yeah. The documentary came out in 2020, and the Essex police had appointed a new investigating officer after this documentary in hope that there were some new witnesses to come forward. There was also a $40,000 reward being offered for any information that leads to an arrest and conviction for the rape and murder of Stuart Lebeck. And guess what? In March 2021, there was another arrest made because somebody did come forward after the documentary.
Ah, okay.
This arrest was made in in March. This person was never named. They held this person and then released them on bail. And then by August of that same year, the charges were dropped. All it said it was a 50-year-old man, and there was insufficient evidence to reach the level of a realistic chance that this person would be prosecuted. Probably because somebody heard something right along the way. And I just don't think that's enough to get a conviction. There's not any evidence.
I think it's pretty miraculous that there were so many people at the house and nobody slipped up.
Well, they're hoping still to this day that somebody will talk. Maybe there's somebody in the United States that knows something and is not afraid of the British press and has come over here and knows exactly what has happened. Because I'm telling you, there's only two podcasts on this out. It's not a story that is well known here. So maybe somebody knows something. Unfortunately, Stuart's dad will never be able to see the truth in living flesh because he died of cancer in September of 2021. At the age of 76 years old. And like I said, he really fought to the very end to find justice for his son. And I think literally was part of the reason he got cancer, because the stress of it was too much, man.
Yeah.
And I just think to myself, when tragic things happen to people, it's got to be so hard to live on through life. But there's a part of me where it's like, you at some point, you kind of have to live. And I felt bad this guy didn't actually live after Stuart died. Michael Barrymore moved to Spain in 2024, where he found himself back on the big screen, but not on television screen, on the TikTok screen.
Okay.
He has 3.5 million followers, Gretchy. Mm. Stuart Lebeck was born October 1st, 1969. He was a loving son, brother, and father. It's important to remember those facts about him more than the last couple hours of his life, which is sad, right? Because it's kind of been like, if you're gay or not gay, which it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't define like anything.
It doesn't matter because obviously whether he wanted to go and party and have even gay sex, fine. But this—
No, it's only like even relative to the case, because it's whether he would have likely, you know, been there for that, or it kind of, if he really, you know, wasn't, then it increases the likely chance he was assaulted, right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why the sexuality
exactly
is relevant.
Right. Stuart's headstone reads, "Rest in peace and dignity, Stuart, missed by everyone who knew and loved you." And I agree. There is no obituary that we could find, because I was trying to find that. But rest in peace, Stuart. I hope one day somebody in your family will have answers, but I'm not sure that they will.
Holding out hope. If I would think that if he was on Big Brother, one of the other people on the show, you know how they break them down and then they get them to say.
I know.
Tell me, what really happened?
I don't know if I know. I think Terry thinks that Michael knows what happened to him. I don't know. I think that there could. Oh, at one point, one of the girls went to the bathroom and she did see a couple guys in a bedroom. And when she came out of the bathroom, I think the bedroom door was closed. I don't know. It could have been multiple of those guys that did it. Hmm. You know, I don't know. It could have been one of them.
All right.
It could have been one or multiple, or I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to talk about what people think a bit at UK Crime Con.
Right. And you know what? If you are in the UK and you have some information, because I'm sure you do, because you've heard all about it and you have heard little people talk about what they think, we would love to know.
Yeah. Skip the police. Just come to our booth.
Just kidding.
Right. I'm not saying like, actually, you have evidence. If you have evidence, please go to the police.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like Rumorville, like we love to like hear what people
what the
are
theory
saying.
Is. Yes.
The theory behind it, because everybody has one. But thanks for that case. We will see you in CrimeCon in the UK. I'm very much looking forward to that. That's actually our first time we'll see any of y'all, because that's in June 7th-ish, around there that weekend. And then next CrimeCon, Denver, and then the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Mamas.
Frick. Okay.
And if you would not mind giving us a rating, if you love us, then we would love you back, because that's how Apple decides if they want to, you know, showcase us, do something fun. So if you wouldn't mind just clicking that 5-star, writing a little something, we appreciate you. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.